so much older then. I'm younger than that now.
Welcome into Growing Bolder. I'm Mark Middleton. Coming up today, the man considered to be the number one global thought leader on the power of purpose. Plus, the 74-year-old woman whose life was changed by a Google search and a little-known insurance benefit, and the unlikely national swimming champion who says life begins at 80. This is Growing Bolder. Well, I'm sure you guys have noticed that the biggest cultural trend in America today just happens to be longevity, the desire for happy, healthy, and active aging. And the good news is that the quest for vitality has finally resulted in a major shift in healthcare toward preventative measures. And it's not just what your doctors are recommending, but it's in our own daily lifestyle choices. Adults of all ages are now actively seeking ways to live longer and healthier through diet, exercise, and of course, through mindset. And one of the most important mindset keys to happy and healthy aging is purpose. In fact, research shows that people who have a strong sense of purpose actually live about 7.5 years longer than those without. And another study says that 92% of all retirees believe it's now more important to feel useful than it is to feel youthful. So, what exactly is purpose? Why is it so important? And how can we find it on our own? There may be no better person in the entire world to answer those questions than Richard Leiter. Richard helps corporations, executives, and ordinary people like you and me discover their purpose and connect with their deepest passions. In fact, Forbes has named Richard one of the 5 most respected coaches in the world. His PBS special, The Power of Purpose, has been viewed by millions worldwide. He's the author of 12 books, including the completely revised 4th edition of the best-selling landmark publication, The Power of Purpose. So, let's get with it as we welcome Richard Leiter. Richard, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's so good to be back with you again. I mean, I'm growing older and older. And who would have ever expected a book would be out for 40 years and come out in a 4th edition with 50% new content and 10,000 fewer words? I mean, I'm excited about that. At age 80, I'm finding myself growing bolder.
I love that. And you said 2 or 3 things there that I got to follow up on. Number one, the 4th edition, it's been 8 years since your 3rd edition. As you just noted, 50% new content. Why not just write a new book? Or is it the fact that the power of purpose itself is such a great brand, has done so much good around the world that you just want to keep that going?
Well, I think that's part of it. Part of it is just a business thing about wanting it to keep growing or going. But also the core of the purpose message hasn't changed. But what has changed are the stories, the examples, and the practices. So this book's divided into presence, path, and practices. And those can change over time, but the core of all of that doesn't change. And so the new subtitle of the book is To Grow and to Give for Life. To Grow and to Give for Life. That is a big mouthful, but it's also the truth about what really longevity is all about.
I want to follow up on that, but I want to go back, if we can, real quickly to the fact that the first edition of The Power of Purpose, Richard, was written, what, in 1985?
Right. Yep, that's right.
A long time ago, so you're a guy in your 30s, you know, writing about the power of purpose. And as you just said, you just shared with us, you're now 80. Do you have the same feelings about the importance of purpose now that you're 80 and actually living it as opposed to when you were 30 and first started writing about it? Is it as important as you thought it was? Is it as powerful as you hoped it would be?
More important, more powerful, but not just to sell books. It is because in 1968, when I studied with Viktor Frankl and got sort of a what I would call a breakthrough or an insight into why purpose is critical to life and longevity and all of that. And then over time, you know, I met Abraham Maslow. I've had a very a lot of fortuitous encounters with you as well. And with the work you're doing, fortuitous encounters, meaning people who said, wow, this is something that is true and our studies have shown this. And then I took that and made that into books and programs and practices and a company called InVenture, the purpose company. So over time, there's more strength and more muscle to it as we age. Because back when I started writing about this and had those conversations with people, we didn't live to be in our 90s. I'm 80, and I think I'm going to live to be 90, maybe even 100. But let's just not guess. Let's just say 90. 10 years. And purpose now is, as I've learned, is way more fundamental to people than it was back then because of, you know, whoever knew that we would spend half of our life, what used to be called retirement, you know, growing bolder than growing up. You know, so we grow up, but then we grow bolder.
I love that. And how does ageism factor into it, Richard? Because, you know, there's no question we live in an overtly ageist culture. And you know, we've all been indoctrinated to some extent to believe that as we get older, less is expected of us. We're unable to do many of the things. And a lot of people say, yeah, it's too late to have a purpose. When is it too late to have a purpose?
Never. I, as you know, and we've talked about this before, but I was the curator or the founder of the AARP's Life Reimagined Institute. How do we reimagine this second half of life, this new phase of life? And so it had a life with no name, because what do we call the second half of life? So we call it the Life Reimagined. And at that point, there was a card. You probably got this card. It said from AARP, dear friend, the AARP card, you know, talks about the second half of life. And I found that people found this to be, they hated it because they didn't, no one wanted to age. No one wanted to be in this. So AARP's version of life was one they hated. So I created the Life Reimagined Institute and then they changed the name from AARP to ARP. And so ARP, whoever, you know, it's like dogs do ARP, ARP, ARP. But in 1999, they changed it to ARP, and I got involved. And the old model used to be learn, earn, and adjourn. And you died at a certain stage. Now it's learn, earn, and reinvent, reimagine, et cetera. So this new life stage, this longevity revolution, has changed the game. And that's why we're talking about what we're talking about today.
I think a lot of us get overwhelmed with that. We feel like we don't have a purpose. We think that the purpose has got to be big. You talk about the big P in the little P, and that it's possible for all of us to find purpose in our everyday lives in every single day. Can you talk a little bit about how we can find purpose, especially if we don't think we have one, and especially as we're getting older?
Well, first of all, I would say that one of the big breakthroughs in writing this new book was how many people are struggling or dealing with what I would call unretirement. They're not considering retirement. And some of it's economic. They need to make money to survive. But some of it is that now that you're, and so I've done a lot of interviews for this book. Now that you're no longer working, how are things going for you? And I found a lot of people who have, there's kind of a honeymoon period for retirement. And then there's something that I would call a dark side of retirement. And that is that people want to be, as you said in the introduction, you're so astute, and you have been when we've talked in the past, about youthful versus useful. They want to be useful. It's called generativity. And I had a chance way back in the early 70s to study with Eric Erickson, who talked about generativity. And generativity is that human innate impulse to contribute. And people want to do that from cradle to grave, not just that their job and their paid job is over and things like that. It's in our DNA to want to contribute. And so the point that I'm making here is that the people are looking for new ways to unretire or retire. And that's what I've been studying for a lot of years. And that's why this book is the new book, The Power of Purpose, the fourth edition. Thank you for mentioning it. It sold out in like 10 days. I mean, and we had to go to reprint. Well, why is that? Well, it's because the longevity revolution, there's so many of us, millions of us who are in the second half of life, who are looking for what's next and what's possible, not just the old narrative of retirement.
Well, you know, you mentioned what's next, and there's so many intersections between what you're doing and what we're doing. We actually have a TV show, Richard, called What's Next. It's just based upon that premise that we're all kind of trying to figure out what's next. What questions should we be asking ourselves today in order to prepare for what's next?
Well, you and I could go on forever, but I would say the four questions ask. And keep in mind, however, that everybody's an experiment of one. People don't want to be preached to or, you know, given the answer, but there are four core questions that need to be answered. Play, and I call it the good life. And I've created a book, sold millions of copies, called Repacking Your Bags, Lighten Your Load for the Good Life. But I'm not here to sell books. I'm here to say, here are the four questions to ask when you look at the good life. Place, people, right work, and purpose. Are you living in the place you love? What makes a place for you? And it's not just the weather. You know, I'm in Minnesota right now as we speak. It's really cold here at this moment. But the fact is, it's beautiful a lot of the year. And I actually love living in Minnesota for a whole lot of reasons, because what makes a place for me is relevant for me. It may not be relevant for you or for your listeners. And then secondly is people. You may be in the right place, but what are your relationships like? And it's not just your family and your immediate relationships. Who are your friends? And who are the people that you can connect with? And then third is right work. But right work could be unpaid, could be paid, could be volunteer, could be part-time, could be full, you know, a whole lot of different elements. But we want to matter. We want to create, use our gifts, our passions and values in ways that connect with who we are. And so there's a big distinction, as you know, between vacation and vocation. Vacation is like the old model of retirement. It's all about vacation and just taking it easy. But after a period of time, the honeymoon period, people are like, well, you know, I'd like to be connected to my community. I'd like to have more friends. I'd like to a whole lot of different elements there. And so right work has to do with not only our gifts and offering our gifts to the world and community, but also our passions and our values. So, you know, I've written it very extensively. My whole work is about the napkin tests. Are your gifts, passions, and values aligned at this stage of your life, no matter what stage it is? And then finally, purpose is fundamental, as we've talked about. Purpose is fundamental to health, to healing, to happiness. I cannot tell you what a breakthrough it's been for me in the last few years, including writing this book about the science of purpose. And purpose is evident in dementia and in stroke, macroscopic stroke, and sleep apnea, in longevity. I mean, the data is there now. It used to be there was more like a social narrative and it would be nice to do, but, you know, I don't have the money or I don't have the time or whatever. And now what we know is very clearly that purpose is self-evident and fundamental, not just a luxury.
So we all need to have it. And if we can, Richard, let's help people who might be, you know, a little bit overwhelmed or intimidated by thinking that they have to have the big P. You know, they've got to have a purpose like Richard Leiter, you know, a purpose to enlighten the world of the power of purpose. Help us understand what some of the little P's might be, because, you know, I know that you espouse the idea that all of us can have a purpose in each and every day, and that purpose may be just to lift one other person's spirit. I mean, help us find the little P's.
Well, first of all, what's the difference? Well, the big P is a noble purpose, like doing something for a cause or saving the planet in certain ways. But that, and that's good. And we, you know, that's a good thing. But the little p is when you wake up, you know, purpose is really about the subtitle of the new book, or the first introductory chapter of the new book is, what's my reason to rise? So when I get up in the morning, what can I do to make a difference in just one person's life today? And so when I woke up this morning, that's what I asked myself. What can I do to make a difference in one person's life? And I look and I don't, maybe don't know, but I know what my calendar looks like, et cetera. And maybe it's today on our cast together. And so the little p purpose, there are 1,440 purpose moments in the day. So if you take out sleep, then it would be less than that. But let's just say 1,440. And so those are just 1 minute where you can make a difference in one person's life. As Viktor Frankl said in the concentration camps, he said, this may not have saved people's lives, but he said it saved their souls in certain ways that they could get up in the morning and give someone else a kind word, give somebody else a crust of bread, give somebody else a slurp of soup, give somebody else hope for the future, in which he did. And so, you know, with each of us, there's no reason that we can't, no matter what our circumstances are. And I can tell you many, many stories of people who've got fairly dire circumstances who have talked to me about their health or about their relationships or about their economics, et cetera, who are feeling huge adversity. But when they have a reason to get up in the morning, to make a reason to rise, to do something for somebody else, they do better. Their depression goes down. Their different elements of their life get better. So big P and little p, when I do this for a crowd, maybe I'm doing it right now for your crowd, is that there's this, this huge sign of relief that finally, you know, it's not just about noble purpose and I have to be Mother Teresa or Gandhi or Martin Luther King. I can just be me. But what can you do today to make a small dent in someone else's life? That's the little p purpose. And so full stop, it's for everyone. And so when you look at the, you know, basically the bottom line is that life is about little p purpose statement, actions. Action precedes clarity. When people say, well, I don't know what my purpose is, I said, act purposefully. Make a difference in other people's life, and you will ultimately understand what purposeful living and the big P purpose is all about.
Yeah, thank you for that. You're doing such important work because you're helping everybody. You know, we're focused on older adults here at Growing Bolder. And I always feel, Richard, as you know, that I have to offer a disclaimer that, you know, we're not idiots. We understand that life is a struggle. We understand that growing older has many of its challenges. And so many people just want to automatically dismiss anything that is positive when it comes to aging because, you know, they don't think it's realistic. They you know, they think it's a binary. It's terrible or it's ridiculous. So, you know, trying to help people understand that they can still extract moments of joy out of what can be a difficult life. And, you know, it's funny as you were talking, I may get this wrong, but I watched a bit of a video recently. I think it was an old film with Kurt Vonnegut. And the interviewer asked him, or he told the interviewer, that he had asked his son recently, what's the purpose of life? And he said, my son's answer, I thought was a pretty good one. He said, the purpose of life is simply to help others endure the journey, simply to help others enjoy the journey, simply to help others along the journey. And I thought that's, you know, that's a pretty simple but astute way of describing what a purpose could be. We're here to help one another. And Lord knows that's needed now more than ever.
Well, I agree with that totally. That's a great Vonnegut quote. But I also would say this, and that is that E.B. White, the American essayist, said this. He said basically that I arise in the morning torn between a desire to save the world and a desire to savor the world. This makes it hard to plan the day. So for those skeptics or critics, I would say it's both. And you should savor and you should enjoy life and you should do what you can to feel good about yourself. But the other side of it is, if it's just about you, it's called narcissism. And so, you know, the other side of that is that we live in community, we live in family, we live in situations where to live the good life, we need to make some sort of positive difference to that life in certain ways. And so I think as we grow older, the real beauty moves from the face to the heart. And we move to the heart, that means somehow connecting with others beyond just what gives us. And I love savoring. I savor life. But I love saving as well. And saving does not mean noble, as you were saying earlier, that you have to change the world in certain ways. But we have to do our little dent, And so to be content and settled is just fine.
Savoring and even saving. And folks, he's not talking about saving money. He's talking about saving lives. When we return, more with Richard Leiter, including why he believes that the future belongs to the learners and not the knowers. And later, she just wanted to know how she stacked up against others her own age. She wasn't planning on setting a new record. This is Growing Bolder.
Support for Growing Bolder provided by
Rides with Uber help give older adults the freedom they need and deserve. Plus, many Medicare Advantage Flex cards help cover the cost of Uber rides to appointments and important deliveries with Uber Eats, like groceries and OTC medication. Learn more at uberhealth.com/card or call 1-866-827-4584. Welcome back to Growing Bolder. I'm Mark Middleton. We're talking today with Richard Leiter, who has just published the fourth edition of his landmark book, The Power of Purpose. I shared with Richard my belief about the power and importance of momentum in our lives, and that as we get older, momentum typically takes us in a direction that's not conducive to our growth. The couch gains momentum. Saying no gains momentum. The fear of challenges gains momentum. I ask Richard if we're meant to take more risk as we age in order to gain positive momentum in our lives.
That's a great question, and there's two responses that are triggered. Number one is that curiosity, and that is if we're not curious, we're not growing and giving, we're not living. And so at a certain point, you could say, I think I shared with you before, but I'll share with you again, that I had a conversation with the creator of TED, you know, the TED Talks, and his name is Richard Saul Warman in his late 80s. And he said that TED was created in the 80s, pre-internet, pre all the things we know now, about curiosity. And he said, I wanted to, he's an architect and an urban planner and a lot of other things, and a Renaissance thinker, he said, I wanted to figure out the intersection between technology, entertainment, and design. That's TED, technology. And he said, so I created these ultimate dinner parties where I would bring together people from those three domains to see what they had to say to each other about what was happening next. And I think that's, if I could create ultimate dinner parties for people at Growing Bolder, that would be a dream, because it's like when you get together, what are you talking about? And what he found was that people would talk about purpose, meaning, and what mattered in their lives at this stage. And he said, basically one word, he said, Richard, so we're in the green room, we're in the back room before we're both going on stage. And he said, what are you talking about? And I said, purpose. And I said, Richard, what are you talking about? And he said, curiosity. And he said, the number one thing in people's lives that keeps them alive is being curious. Curious about themselves, curious about others, curious about the world. And when you lose that sense of curiosity, then you start to die. And so, you know, I think that's a really relevant thing. The other thing that I want to bring up here is that I was on a program, so I'm not bragging about this. This is just my fortuitous encounters with Dr. Vivek Murthy, who just resigned or had to resign as the
Surgeon General,
both for Obama and for Biden. And he, in his letter that he wrote in resignation, he talked about the triad of fulfillment, and which I think is brilliant. Because he talked a lot about and wrote a book called Togetherness, about loneliness, about isolation being critical to health and longevity. And he said the triad of fulfillment is relationships, service, and purpose. He said those are the big three that we need to get right with people as they age. And so I can talk in depth about the triad of fulfillment because I've written about it without giving it the name, the triad. But, I mean, he's got the evidence and the research and the science behind it.
I'm curious what you, I think I could predict your answer, but I won't. But you know, it seems as we get older, one of the keys to inspiring people and to changing their minds about what's possible is to help them understand that, you know, growth can be forever. And, you know, we may not continue to grow hair on the top of our head or grow muscles, but we can grow our curiosity. We can grow our resilience. We can grow our creativity. We can grow our empathy. Could growth in the simplest form be a purpose just to continue to grow?
Yes, exactly. I mean, thank you for bringing that up, because the subtitle of the new book, The Power of Purpose, fourth edition, is to grow and to give for life. So it's not just growing, which is curiosity and what we just talked about, but it's giving. It's when you grow, what is it that you contribute to life? And so making a small daily dent in other people's lives. The one thing about purpose that hasn't changed over five decades of my studying it is this. It's always about somebody else. It's always about giving in some way to others without feeling like it's like servant. You know, servant leadership's a great thing, but it's not about, you know, backstory is that it's about service. Somehow we're here to live. And I can talk about what I've learned in different continents around the world, but service is the ultimate thing. Service means one dent a day. It doesn't mean that you have to change your life and you have to change your day job or anything like that. It just means like you're here for a reason. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. What's that purpose? It's to somehow serve others. And it can be just 1 minute a day. That's enough.
And therein, if you ask me, lies the challenge of senior living organizations, senior living communities, of which there are many. You know, it's no longer just about keeping people safe. It's no longer about keeping them well fed. It's about helping them in that community find a way to serve. And I think finally, you know, they're starting to get that. Let me ask you this, Richard, because The Power of Purpose was not your first book. The first edition of The Power of Purpose was not your first book back in 1985. You were 34 years old when you wrote What Do You Want to Be When You Grow Old? And now that you're 80, are you what you wanted to be back then?
Well, the future belongs to the learners, not the knowers. So I know a lot, in my own mind anyway, about what I've learned, but I'm learning. And so one of the things that is the final chapter in this new book is called the Manifesto for Purpose. I'm a pioneer in the purpose movement. And purpose, you know, is now is in healthcare, it's in education, it's in leadership, it's in assisted living and aging, etc. It's in a lot of different places. Why? Because we now know and have the evidence that is important to that. And so I wrote this manifesto, which is 10 pieces, and I hope you'll put it up on your website. It's the 10 things I've learned in one page about purpose over 50 years. But I call it an incomplete manifesto for purpose, because why is it incomplete? Because I'm not complete. I'm not dead yet. I'm still learning. I'm still growing myself. I'm still bringing new factors. I do talks all the time, and I add new stories or new dimensions to those talks. Why? Because I'm a learner. So I think the future belongs to the learners of all ages and stages, not just the knowers.
Richard, I'm guessing that, you know, over the decades when you were interviewed, when people wrote articles about you, it was in your 40s and 50s and 60s. It was just Richard Leiter, global pioneer, Richard Leiter. Now, in the same sentence, and I did it myself in the introduction today, in the same sentence, it's Richard Leiter, 80 years old. Your age has become connected to your mission. Are you energized by that? Are you bothered by that? Does it make your message more powerful because you're speaking now from a different position than you ever have?
God, you ask good questions. I love talking to you. One year ago, had a health challenge. And I was in the hospital for basically a week. And I thought I would survive, and I did. But I did realize that mortality is, you know, there's a book out now called 4,000 Weeks. I've lived 4,000 weeks. And, you know, I may live 4,700 or more weeks. But the fact is that as I was laying in the hospital, you know, not struggling, but healing, I realized that mortality, knowing how long you're going to live, it gives real essential messages to what's important to you now. And so sometimes that comes through triggers, through health challenges, divorce or relationship, economic things. You know, right now, as we speak, there's millions of people who are losing their jobs for a whole lot of reasons. We don't want to dig into it at this moment, but and so, you know, we need to look at the end in order to look at the current. So I looked at the end and the current, and my message became even more relevant to me personally. I said to myself, wow, I don't know how much longer I'm going to live, but if I'm going to live longer, I'm going to make my life count. So when people ask me this question, they say to me, and you know this because I've talked to you about this before, they say, Richard, got a minute? Can you tell me what I should do with the rest of my life? You're supposedly this expert. And I said, well, if you've only got a moment to live, make your life count today. So my message is for myself is, how am I going to make my life count today and the next day and the next day? And I'm not doing it because I want to be famous or I want to be, you know, whatever. I'm doing it because it's in our DNA to contribute. We want, as human beings, to contribute to life. That is who we are as human beings, and that's in our DNA. And sometimes it takes a trigger or a health crisis or something for us to realize that.
Folks, for nearly 60 years now, Richard Leiter has dedicated his life to helping others find meaning and purpose. His latest book is The Power of Purpose to Grow and to Give for Life, and it should be in everybody's library. You can learn more about Richard at RichardLeiter, that's LEIDER.com. All right, up next, if there were a Mount Rushmore for inspiring 90-somethings, Janet Rushmere would be on Mount Rushmore. You'll meet her next. This is Growing Bolder.
Sign up for the Growing Bolder Insider Newsletter, delivered to your inbox every week. Be the first to see our latest interviews, stories, and tips for making each day count. Sign up today at growingbolder.com. Miss an episode of Growing Bolder Radio? Subscribe to our podcast and get it on your mobile device. Details at growingbolder.com/podcasts.
In a soldier's stance, I aim my hand at the mongrel dogs you teach.
Welcome back to Growing Bolder. I'm Mark Middleton. Janet Rushmere and her 94-year-old husband live in Pennsylvania. Janet loves being 90 because she's happy and healthy, and she gives credit for that health and happiness to her regular swimming workouts and to her many friends. Janet really had no idea how good she was at swimming until the National Senior Games came to nearby Pittsburgh, and she couldn't resist entering to see how she stacked up against others her age. The National Senior Games swimming competition has attracted competitors from age 50 to 100, and a record is about to be set in the women's 90 to 94-year-old 50-yard freestyle. 90-year-old Janet Rushmere lives in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and when the games came to Pittsburgh, she couldn't resist entering to see how she stacked up against the nation's best.
Go, Janet! Go, 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 go! Go!
Yeah!
Yes, Janet!
Yeah, yeah, I see. Let me see what it is.
She got the record for the senior game. She got it!
Yeah! It's great. We've been working with her all year.
She is. Tirelessly working all year.
She works so hard. This is so deserving. I'm so happy for her.
It wouldn't be Janet's only gold medal or National Senior Games record. She won 6 golds and broke 3 records, which made her feel
fabulous, totally unexpected. I can't believe it.
She might not have expected it, but she certainly earned it.
Swimming is just a passion. I've loved all kinds of sports, but swimming is at the top. And I train about 3 times a week for at least an hour and a half each time and just pushing myself. But I love it. I just feel wonderful when I'm done.
If it's not swimming, she's walking, playing with her great-grandkids, or volunteering as a tutor at a nearby elementary school. Janet is a self-proclaimed cheerleader for a healthy lifestyle.
You live in a great community, and there's been so much lately about the importance of socialization and hanging out with like-minded people. What's it like to live in Willow Valley and have the encouragement and support that you do?
It's fabulous. My husband and I have said it's the best decision we ever made to move there. And people are just so nice and friendly and welcoming, and there are lots of things to do. A great pool. It's the best pool I've ever swum in. I don't have to share a lane with anybody, and people encouraging me all the time.
What would you say to people that think it's impossible to have a great life at 90?
Oh, no. Like I said years ago, life begins at 80, because that's when I really started doing well and swimming. I'm having a great time. I hope to live a lot more, many more years.
Janet's advice for the rest of us?
I think to keep a positive attitude, be optimistic, and stay active and have lots of friends and just enjoy life with people.
You're not growing older, you're growing bolder?
Yes, all right, yes. Yeah, I do think I'm a little more assertive in my old age than I was. And of course, the better I do in swimming, the better I feel about myself, you know?
Janet is now 92. She's still swimming, still socializing, still excited about her future, and of course, still growing bolder. When we return, getting out of the house, meeting up with friends, getting to doctor's appointments, picking up important supplies, all can become more important, but also more difficult as we age. But as Lucy Otero found out, where there's a will, there's a way. We've got news. Watch.growingbolder.com, the world's first streaming site for active adults, is now live. Growing Bolder TV shows, national specials, documentaries, and inspiring videos on ordinary people living extraordinary lives 24/7 on demand for free. Watch.growingbolder.com is now live.
Something to protect. Good and bad, I define these terms quite clear, no doubt, somehow. But
I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now.
Welcome back to Growing Bolder. Here's an important question, folks. What are the keys to living longer, healthier lives? Orthopedic surgeon and international authority on active aging and sports medicine, Dr. Vonda Wright, believes there are 5 pillars of health that individuals can focus on to extend their health span. In an interview with Growing Bolder, Dr. Wright explored the 5 pillars of health and the ways they impact our lifespan and, more importantly, our health span.
When I think about aging, I like to focus on the 5 pillars of health. Number one, we must detoxify our bodies. That means if we're still smoking, let's try to do everything possible to stop, as well as decrease the toxins we get from our environment. Number two, protect our sleep. We really do need 7 to 8 hours a night in order to optimize our brains and our bodies. Number three, let's make friends. We need to optimize our social connections and stay connected to the world around us. And finally, my two favorites, smart nutrition and mobility. What we eat matters. We are built of the foods we put in our body. I like to focus on minimizing the inflammatory foods so that we not only feel better, but we protect ourselves from chronic disease. And finally, as an orthopedic surgeon, I'd like you to be as mobile as possible. Mobility matters, whether you're walking rapidly down the street or really getting intense. These five pillars will help us age optimally.
Lucy Otero has always been a self-described party girl. Growing up in New York, she loved the energy of big city life. But when she retired and moved to Florida, she was shocked to find that an important part of her life was suddenly missing, and it was having an impact on her health and her happiness. But she grew bolder and took action, discovering a big world and a new way to get around.
I ended up retiring several months before my full retirement age. But then boredom began to set in. I was concerned that from boredom, it would go into depression, and I didn't want that for myself. So I did something I thought I would never do. I got on the internet and I Googled senior citizen centers, and a bunch of them popped up. I have made so many friends, and we do so many things, not only at the centers, but outside of the centers. We do day trips. We take art classes. We do all kinds of activities. I love to party. Getting out and being social fulfills my life. It's so important to who I am, the core person that I am. I was a little surprised when initially I discovered my benefits. If I can't drive for whatever reason, I can call up and schedule an Uber ride. And so, yes, I schedule Uber on many occasions because we have one car in this house. I give my son priority to the car because he works. And so if I have a doctor's appointment, dental, eye, anything medical, I can call the health insurance and schedule an Uber ride.
There's not a worrisomeness that she may not be able to get the medication she needs. She may not be able to get a checkup that might prevent a life-threatening injury. There is health on the way for her. And I think that's the best thing to say, is that with Uber, you are not alone.
Uber represents to me an opportunity to get out and do the things I want to do. It represents freedom. It represents joy. There's no need for you to be at home feeling concerned, how am I going to get this done? If Uber is a benefit that your Advantage plans provides, by all means, take advantage of it.
Lucy has just returned from a cruise with one of her new friends, where she says she did a whole lot of dancing and socializing. You can watch the Lucy story on growingbolder.com and more on health insurance qualified rides at uberhealth.com/card. Life is all about moving forward and giving back, which is why Lucy wanted to share her story to help others. It gives her purpose, which brings us to Steve Rand. Steve is in his 80s and could be laying low enjoying his comfortable life here in the U.S., but he felt compelled to do something when Russia invaded Ukraine. So he co-founded the nonprofit Common Man for Ukraine and has traveled into the war zone a dozen times, delivering more than 4 million pounds of food, 10,000 sleeping bags, generators, and more. Unfortunately, the way that many people deal with these tragic, these unspeakable events is simply to look away. Because the more you look, the more heartbreaking it is, the more you feel like you can do anything. How do you not look away? How do you keep yourself simply saying, you know, I can make a difference. I mean, you're 80 years old. You could pretty much lay low and chill in beautiful Plymouth, New Hampshire for the next couple of decades if you wanted to, hang out with the population of 6,600 people in Plymouth, but yet you're trying to make a difference on a global scale. How do you not look away? How do you push yourself into these types of conflicts?
Well, you know, there is a certain thermodynamic thing here where once you get things going, it's hard to stop them. And it's hard to start them sometimes, but hard to stop. And our engagement and our knowledge and our context there in Poland and Ukraine just propel us to want to stay involved. We have a lot of skin in this game. We are working this project every day. It's the acceleration that maintains the interest. And if you stop accelerating, you're not just staying the same. You're going backwards.
What do you say to anyone of any age, but especially to older adults, about the ability we all have in our own way to make a difference in the lives of others?
You know, I think part of the thing that I hear is that, I can't do that because I'm doing this over the here, or I'm totally booked up, or whatever it is. And as we all know, ask a busy person to do something if you want to get it done. That's a good phrase. I think it's true. The other one is, it shouldn't be either or. It should be and plus. We are really privileged in this country to be able to have our own independence, to do what we want to do. Often we are able to do it financially. Even if not, we have the opportunity to help other people. It is one of the most fulfilling parts of life, is helping others. So it's not really a drag on you at all. Although if you aren't in the habit, you might have to work at it a little bit to get in the habit. I would suggest starting somewhere. Find a project. Start on it. Make a difference. Pound yourself on the back and say, what a good boy or girl am I? And go forward with that.
You can learn more about Steve Rand and his nonprofit at commonmanforukraine.org. Another example that we can all find purpose, even for strangers living 5,000 miles away. Well, we've learned a lot today about the power and importance of purpose. And whenever I talk about purpose, I'm always asked, how can I find my purpose if I don't have one? Well, here's what I've come to believe. Finding purpose isn't that hard. In fact, it's not really something you find, it's something you give. Because when we give our time and our talents, we're not just helping others, we're reminding ourselves that we matter, that we belong, that we're an important part of the community, that we already have purpose. So you can stop looking and just start giving, even if it's not more than a kind word or an encouraging smile, because that's Growing Bolder. We'll see you next time.
The Growing Bolder Radio Show is a production of Growing Bolder, LLC, all rights reserved. This program was recorded at Growing Bolder Studios in Orlando and is available as a weekly podcast on NPR One, iTunes, Spotify, and TuneIn. It is written and produced by Jill Middleton, Mark Middleton, and Bill Schaefer. Technical director is Jason Morrow. Production manager is Michael Nanis. Chief audio engineer is Mac Dula. And our most important team member, you. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram to keep growing bolder every day.
Crimson flames tied through my ears, flowing high and mighty trapped. Countless fire and flaming road, using ideas as my maps. We'll meet on edges soon, said I. So much older than I'm younger than that now. Half right prejudice leap for rip down all hate I scream. Lies that life is black and white spoke from my skull I dream. Romantic flanks of musketeers foundation deep. Somehow
from stern to bow. Ah, but I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now. Deceived me into thinking I had something to protect. Good and bad, I defined these terms quite clear, no doubt, somehow.